challenge.
Opportunities.
The next idea.
Education is not a mechanical system, it's a human system. It's about people.
It isn't a secret by any stretch that our education system needs some massive improvements, both here in Michigan and nationwide. American students are lagging considerably behind many of their international peers on numerous academic measurements. Our latest contributor to The Next Idea believes at the heart of this is our reliance on this one-size-fits-all, curriculum-driven teaching model, a model that dates back to the mid-1800s. Bob Sorensen is founder and president of the Early Learning Foundation, based in Brighton. He's an author, a speaker, and a former Michigan school administrator. Good to have you with us, Bob.
Thank you very much.
Why is this curriculum-based method of teaching not cutting it for us in 2015?
It is an approach that we've been using for more than 150 years. It's based on the premise that we will teach a certain set of content in each given year and then move forward in a progression. Over the last 30 or 40 years, we've put that system on steroids by adding more content and asking teachers to teach more, faster, and very often to younger and younger students. In a system like this, it's invariable that some kids come into a course in which there is so much content being presented so quickly, more prepared than other kids. But it's likely that a whole bunch of kids in that class are not fully understanding, appreciating, and learning at a rate that is important for kids to be able to love learning, be involved in their own learning, and to think of themselves as good learners.
Hmm. Your essay for The Next Idea, Bob Sorensen, takes us right back to the root of this system we're using, and I was so startled to realize we go all the way back to the mid-1800s to Prussia.
Yes, indeed. A gentleman by the name of Horace Mann was the first secretary for the State Board of Education in Massachusetts, the first public education system in this country. And he was sent to Europe to do a little scouting around and look at all of the different educational models and systems that were available in Europe at that time. And in doing so, he picked the Prussian system, which, in his opinion, was one of the least punitive systems of the time, came back and instituted a grade 1 through 8 system, not intending for all students to follow through all 8 grades, but to get a whole lot of kids to have a little bit of information in the areas of reading and math and ethics and discipline and a set of skills like that, knowing that very few would finish all 8 grades and very few would need or want to go on to high school or any kind of advanced learning beyond that.
And in 1855, that worked.
That's absolutely right.
You didn't need to, you know, to build a life by going on and taking higher education.
By 1900, the high school graduation rate in this country was 6.4%, using the same basic model that Horace Mann had instituted. 6.4% was more than enough people in those days to finish high school and maybe be thinking about doing advanced study beyond that. We did not need advanced thinkers, readers, mathematicians, and scientists in the same way that we do today.
Well, in your essay for The Next Idea, you're arguing we need to move away from this one-size-fits-all curriculum-based model to what you call a competency-based model, much like the approach we take when we train doctors or pilots or just about any career that requires skill mastery. So what would this look like in the classroom?
We live within a model. We live and breathe within this curriculum-driven model because it's all we know. Except it's really not all we know, because every parent I know knows how to present a competency-based learning model. When you're teaching your child to ride a bike, you don't use a scripted program or a pacing guide. You don't make sure that he is using a tricycle 1 week and then training wheels the next week, and then you take off training wheels the following week. We wouldn't do that to our kids. We give them all the time they need at every different stage in the development of those skills and the love of using those skills while riding a bike. I think that's kind of part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
To be able to fully develop those skills. Did you ever train a teenager or help a teenager learn to drive a car?
Mm-hmm. We did.
Did you rush it, or did you take all the time to build the skills so that this child and maybe the rest of the world would be safe?
We took the time it took, and of course the state helps us by setting that time where we know that we have to be with them for all those hours. So yeah, we had lots and lots of hours.
Competency, it's all around
us.
I was in an airplane the other day. I'm really hoping that the Delta airplane pilot had a competency-based training program and not just a coverage-based training program, because I don't want the C-minus pilot. I want the one who has every skill, completely competent, something I can demonstrate and use in a whole variety of different circumstances. I can land that plane on a good day, on a rainy day, on a windy day.
Yep. Just like a surgeon. I want a competency-based surgeon if I'm going to be on his operating table or her operating table.
And in fact, in pretty much every area that we've decided is crucial in our lives, we have competency-based training programs, technical training programs to become a master-level electrician. You learn the skills, you learn the information, you practice the skills, you build the skills, you demonstrate the skills, and then you become a master.
You cite some examples in your essay, Bob, of where this approach has had some success. At the state level, New Hampshire has made some important changes. What have they done there?
New Hampshire's been a real leader here. They started at the high school level by establishing competencies for each of what were the high school course requirements for graduation. So they said, let's just not pass this course and get a B or a C or a D. Instead, let's establish a set of competencies as a framework and have kids actually show that they have these skills before graduation. The State Board of Education established a structure, gave permission to do this, and then made it a requirement for every district in the state to come up with a set of competencies that would match the state requirements for graduation, and that are in various stages of implementation. And then their hope is to someday remove the course requirement altogether and simply have a competency set as the expectations for graduation, and then gradually build down into the lower grades. In a different district up in Alaska, the Chugach School District in Alaska, they did it somewhat differently. They looked at their situation, which was unique. You know, more than 20,000 square miles of space and about 220 students. And so they had a certain set of circumstances, but they also had low rates of graduation and relatively poor educational outcomes. They say, we need to consider doing something different. So they established a competency framework with 8 primary domains for graduation and a set of skills that they want as outcomes. And then they started to create a chain or a pathway backwards to those skills that needed to be in place at all of the different levels preceding graduation.
It sounds like if we were to take this and put this into Michigan's classrooms, it could place a very, very heavy burden on classroom teachers who have to, you know, attend each student's learning progress individually. And how do you keep this from being overly burdensome on teachers and on schools?
We are used to, in the education business, these long lists of typically called grade-level content expectations, now these days more often called Common Core State Standards, long lists of things to cover. We've been racing through lists of things to cover for a very long time now. It's kind of what we think we do. A competency framework is going to look very different than that. A competency framework has to be very clear, very specific. It has to be a very short list by comparison to these very, very long lists of things to cover, because coverage and competency are two very different things. So by creating a very specific set of outcomes and helping teachers get each child to those outcomes in their own way, in their own time. There's a guy in New Hampshire, John Bramante, he uses the phrase, anytime, anywhere, any pace. We're going to get you to these outcomes, and you can learn it anywhere, anytime, at an any pace, but to help you get to these outcomes is our goal.
And can we expect Michigan's teachers to reverse course, learn these new approaches as they're still trying to meet the standards that exist with probably ever larger classrooms?
Well, I can tell you from my own experience that this is a significant change for teachers, because I work with districts in Michigan and Mississippi and around the country, helping them try to learn how to do this. And it's a different frame of reference. In some respects, the old curriculum-driven system is easier. It's my job in a curriculum-driven system to come in and teach this lesson today. I'll try to do a really good job. Good, responsible teachers plan ahead and prepare and think about it. How can I present this lesson in the best possible way? hope that I get a lot of kids to learn a fair amount of this, or maybe even all of this, but then know that the school expects me the next day to move on to the next lesson, and the next lesson, and the next lesson. So learning to transfer from that model and that way of thinking to a competency-based approach is going to be a significant restructuring of the training needs of teachers, the systems of support within school districts. It is a different mission to help every kid get there in their own time, in their own way. Think of this from the equity perspective. Poor kids in general come into school with lower levels of oral language skills, very often less preparation, less experience with literacy, very often less preparation, less experience with mathematics. If we want to give poor kids an opportunity to be successful in this country, a one-size-fits-all, curriculum-driven system will not get it done. It's killing those kids at rates that are well-reported, that we really understand.
Where do we start in Michigan? If we want to move toward this competency-based framework, where do we begin?
It's pretty simple. We start at one end or the other, or maybe we start at both. We could start at the graduation end, like New Hampshire is doing, create a structure for those outcomes that we think are really important for kids to have by the time they get out there in the real world and are prepared for a real world of work. That could include college. It could include other kinds of vocational and technical training. It could include military. It could include all kinds of things. So we could start at that end, the high school graduation end, and build a system back downwards. Or we could also start, as I do in the work that I do, with establishing the foundation of early learning skills in all of the domains of learning, things like oral language, things like sensory motor skills, things like early literacy, including phonologic skills and all the other aspects, things like early numeracy, things like the social skills and especially the self-regulation skills, the capacity to control yourself, be calm, be focused, persist, delay gratification, those things that are incredibly connected to predicting which kids are going to be successful in learning, but also successful socially.
How optimistic are you that Michigan would move and will move in this direction?
It will. The question is, how long will it take? Ultimately, other countries around the world are moving quickly, more quickly than we are, in some of these directions. And the countries that position themselves best by having the best educational system and preparing more kids to truly be world ready. I mean world ready, because we're competing around the world these days.
Bob Sorensen is the founder and the president of the Early Learning Foundation based in Brighton, and you can find his essay on the Next Idea page. Just go to michiganradio.org. And please share your thoughts and views in the comments section below Bob's essay, or go to Michigan Radio's Facebook page, or as always, on Twitter, @NextIdeaMI. Bob, great to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.